During the Industrial Revolution, some textile workers in the UK rebelled and destroyed the machinery that was doing their jobs. They were called Luddites. But today, in a world of Russian hacking and online tracking and targeted ads, there is a new wave of Luddites who view technology with a healthy dose of skepticism. It's what writer Blake Snow calls reformed Luddism. And when I spoke with him more about it via Skype, he said it's a reaction to the personal costs that all of the constant swiping and checking and updating that we do on our smartphones all day.
The technology now is so pervasive. It's not just changing how we, you know, our textiles when we go to work to make shirts like we did in the Industrial Revolution. Every waking hour of our life now, all these gadgets, apps, mobile phones, mobile internet, social media that follow us everywhere and are constantly alerting us and notifying us, hey, pick me up, you know, play with me, I'm really needy. And so to me, that's the reason that we're seeing an increase in interest in Luddism or, you know, technophobia or like, wow, this is just too much. It's the politics is some of it, but the bigger thing is much more personal, that these gadgets and technology are so much pervasive that it's many of us are feeling addicted. And, you know, a recent Harvard, you know, university study found that, you know, excessive social media use and phone use just make us miserable. It makes us feel bad about ourselves, makes us feel inadequate, especially when we're comparing ourselves to this incredible Instagram feed that just looks amazing. And our daily life isn't like that.
So like you said, you refer to yourself as a reformed Luddite. And then there's this neo-Luddism thing. There seem to be degrees of this. Can you lay those out for us? How extreme does this get?
Yeah, so reformed Luddism or a Luddite is a term I coined when writing my book. And it was, you know, at first it was a tongue-in-cheek term that I used just to express the idea that digital apps, mobile technology, and connected gadgetry should be treated guilty until proven useful to you. You know, we're not just going to be early adopters, and if society says, oh, this cool new technology, let's bring it into our lives and let it interrupt our lives and distract us. It's the opposite way where, hey, that sounds cool. I don't know how I would use it in my life or if it'd be beneficial, but it's techno-skeptical, if you will. So I, you know, reformed a Luddite, as I consider myself to be, it never resorts to violence or vandalism, because I really believe that phones are powerful and smartphones and social media can be very powerful tools, but they must be done in moderation. I know people that totally disconnect, go off the grid, move to the mountains, preppers or whatever you want to call them. You know, there's a lot of people that are so fearful of this that they just mentally and physically sometimes check out and say, I'm not playing this game. I'm not even going to be a part of modern society. And I don't think that's a healthy response either. And then there's other ones too. There's varying degrees where people are quitting Instagram or Facebook. Years ago, I wrote a story for CNN on why people are quitting Facebook. And it talks about all the things many of us know or kind of deep down want to do, but maybe feel like it's social suicide if we were to quit social media, which I'm happy to report it's not. I mean, life can continue and it's actually even better, I would argue, but that's a whole nother, you know, a whole nother discussion.
Well, so let's talk about that. I mean, so in your life, you have done some things, like you said, to reform your use of technology, to use it in a moderated way. What have you done?
So if I could step back, you know, I started my career as a technology journalist. And so I felt even extra pressure, Lauren, to, hey, if anyone needs to be up on the latest and greatest technology and adopt it, it's you, because it's part of your job and livelihood. Mm-hmm. And that led to some serious burnout where I had to make a choice. I was not happy. I felt like I was spinning my wheels, and I took a radical measure, you know, back then. I quit my mobile internet, which sounds crazy now, and I no longer do that, but at the time I did, because I needed a clean break from that. I couldn't have that that addiction following me wherever I went. I think some other measures that I always recommend that I still incorporate in my life is I turn off all alerts and notifications unless they're from my wife or children, period. Like, that's it. And I know that kind of sounds radical as well, but you got to remember that all these apps and all these devices, their whole business model is to, let me interrupt this person. I need them to engage with me so I can make more money. And it really, by allowing that default, you know, alert or notification setting into your life, you're really letting like a corporation or a company really dictate your day and how you choose to spend your day, as opposed to the other way around.
So you write about this really on a personal level, and it seems to have helped you personally. But what happens if this movement scales up and becomes more and more common? So CityLab wrote that in the Bay Area, the Luddites are the ones imposing restrictions on the locations of high-tech startups. They're the ones limiting the development of industries. Do you agree with that kind of statement? Do you think that this could be impending development at some point?
I would argue if you're like a radical Luddite that views all technology as bad, I don't think that's healthy. So I would disagree on that point. However, I believe reformed Luddism can lead to smarter, more convenient technology that takes into account our privacy concerns and our rights for privacy, mm-hmm. rather than the default, let's just do whatever we want with these people's privacy. So I think we would actually get better technology and smarter technology, more convenient technology with a reformed Luddite approach, which again, isn't radical. It's more skeptical, more cautious, more precautionary. Like if we don't know the consequences, we're not just going to jump in. We need to figure out how this might affect us. And if it's negatively affecting us, as in the case of social media, we're going to scale back or create measures to make people happier and live more fulfilled lives rather than the alternative that we're currently going through right now.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward then, where do you see this going? Like you said, you have kids in school right now who are using a lot of technology in school, I assume. What kind of lessons about the use of technology are you trying to impart to them?
For me, it's simple things about using these powerful technologies as tools rather than as the default life setting or the default mechanism that we experience a simulated life with. So I'm a big advocate of, like for me, I like hiking. I like going out hiking. I take my kids hiking. I like being outdoors because it counters, I'm indoors all day long behind a screen and a computer writing. So I need that. So it's very simple things like that, or having a meal together and don't allowing phones or an iPads or anything or the TV going while you're, eating a meal, which sounds incredibly old fashioned, but I think there's really great experiences and advice in that simple act of living in the moment or, having that presence of mind in terms of what you're actually experiencing.
All right. Blake Snow is the columnist of The Anti-Technologist and the author of Log Off, How to Stay Connected After Disconnecting. Blake, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Lauren, thank you.